Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We're starting a relationship series. It's always good to start a relationship series. I love it. People come with expectation. The best things and the worst things that will ever happen to you will come through people. And it's God's desire that you would be blessed through relationships. And so we're going to speak into that. We do it every year. And we do it differently every year. Last year, I started off and I spoke to singles first, and then we worked all the way through to marriage. We even worked through divorce, and we worked through conflict. This year, I just want to start with a bang. I just want to start speaking straight into marriages, if that's okay with you. Yeah. So if you're single, this is what you've got to look forward to. If you choose to do that, you may not want to. You may want to just be like Jesus or the Apostle Paul. That's okay if you want to do that as well. But if you want to be married, you know, why don't you get a heads up on it and really develop your knowledge of what God would say about relationships. So is everyone ready? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for every person in this place. God, you love every one of them. There is not a person in this room, God, that you don't know their name. You know every person's name. You know their situations. And God, I pray right now that you would bless them and bless our ears and our hearts as we hear the word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, I believe 100%, I believe this with all my heart, that you can have a 100% success in your marriage. The world tells us that if you get married, you've got a 50% chance of having success in it. Friends, that's what the world says. That's not what God says. And I'm going to go with the person who created marriage. And the person who created it says that if you get married, it's the thing that he designed. He created this. And he believes that we can be 100% successful in it. Amen? Don't believe the lie. Well, maybe I'm just going to be a statistic. Maybe I don't really believe in marriage anymore because so many people are breaking up and getting divorced. Friends, let me tell you something. There is a way that seems right to man, but God says it ends in death. And we've got to believe what the Word of God says about marriage. So, oh, but Pastor Richard, that's been my experience. You know, I have been divorced. I am one of the stats. I want to tell you right now, I believe that God's going to bring someone else into your life. But how about we believe that next time you get married, we can believe for the 100% success rate in your relationship. Amen? Come on. I love marriage. Marriage has been very good to me. And that may not be your experience. But friends, that doesn't mean we need to downgrade what it is. God created it because it's supposed to be a blessing to your life. It's supposed to help you go forward in life for both people. Helen and I have been married for 25 years. 25 years. And some of you outdo us by many years. And some of you are still on your journey. I want to tell you right now, I would marry that girl again. It's not like that's something I got caught up in and it's the ball and chain and I would do things differently next time. Friends, that's not the case. And I'm not here to brag. I'm here to encourage you to say you actually can be happily married and really still love the person that you're with and grow in your relationship. Your wedding day shouldn't be a pinnacle. It's the starting point. Amen. Come on, and we've got to believe this because if you don't believe it, then how are you meant to enjoy it and develop it? Wow. Marriage has been a pleasure for us. Of course, there have been some tough times and some difficult times, but that doesn't take away from the joy of anything. I go to the gym sometimes and there's some tough times and difficult times, but I love the result of it. Some of you are laughing for the wrong reason, and that really hurts. Right? Really, really, really hurts. Do you know, the relationship series has come at a great time because a couple of weeks ago, someone said, Pastor Richard, when are you going to preach a message about relationships? Because I feel like there are many marriages in our church that are under spiritual attack. Wow. Right? And it's like, as a pastor, when you hear that, your ears prick up because you're like, wow, okay. And especially when two or three people start to say the same thing, Pastor Richard, I really feel like marriage is under spiritual attack in our church. And so as a pastor, you think, wow, okay. Because you know that without a doubt, there is a spiritual attack on relationships all the time, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Relationships are under attack. Why? Because the enemy knows the joy it can possibly bring into your world. And listen, he also knows the heartache that it can wreak on your life if it doesn't go the way God planned. And so, of course, he's going to attack our relationships. There's no doubt about it. Plus, the testimony of having a great, flourishing relationship to your neighbours and your friends, that's something that the enemy, of course, wants to attack. Now, some of you are new in the room, and you're thinking, what is a spiritual attack? Can I explain it to you, those of you that are new? A spiritual attack on your relationship is when something unexpected, unusual, or out of the norm begins to take place in your relationship. It happens quite quickly. Out of nowhere, you find yourself saying things, doing things, thinking things, and feeling things that are quite sudden, and there's no reason for those things to be taking place in your life. That's what a spiritual attack is. It's like, we're doing all the right things, but this is how I'm feeling. I'm doing all the right things. We're behaving the right way, but I'm thinking these thoughts about my relationship. Friends, that's a spiritual attack. Wow. There's no doubt about it. So Pastor Richard goes on a bit of an investigation because when someone says to me, there's a spiritual attack on marriages, I go, well, who do you know of? And when they begin to mention the relationships and you start to do some homework, you discover, oh, that's not a spiritual attack. That's not a spiritual attack. That's called being spiritually slack. Yeah. Let's do a bit of that this morning. Yeah. That's not a spiritual attack. That's like, Pastor Richard, there's a spiritual attack. Everyone's putting on weight. And then you discover what they're eating, and it's like, that's not a spiritual attack. That's called stop eating Mars bars. Wait, where's my amen choir gone now? Where are you? Yeah. Because I tell you what I've discovered was, it's not really the enemy, it's actually the inner me. Ooh, yeah. Come on, yeah, let's do a bit of that this morning. Listen, stop blaming the devil. I think even the devil's in Persia going, I didn't do anything. Why the heck they're blaming me for? No. See, because sometimes what looks like a spiritual attack to you and I, because it looked very sudden to us, like, wow, all of a sudden they're not doing very well. Wow, all of a sudden they're not doing very well. What looks sudden to us and unusual to us, if you talk to the couple, they would say, no, there were obvious behaviours going on for quite some time. No, this isn't a shock. Believe it or not, it's actually not a shock to the couple going through it. It's a shock to you and I, but it's not a shock to them. And it's easy to say it's a spiritual attack when I honestly believe we're just being a little bit spiritually slack. And what do I mean by that? I think we're being a bit careless in our relationships. We're being inattentive. Listen, we are allowing love-destroying habits to take place, of attitudes that eventually start to stack up the scales and start to send the relationship into its challenges. Let me tell you what I don't agree with. Friends, you know the whole thing, you know, marriage takes work and you've got to work on your marriage. I don't believe that for a second. Actually, can I say to you, stop working on your marriage? There you go. Write that down as a quote. Pastor Richard said, stop working. Listen, a marriage is based on two people. That's what a marriage is. A marriage is not a toaster where a couple stand together and work on a toaster together. Work on your marriage like it's some sort of toaster. You are the marriage. Are you hearing? You are the marriage. Helen and I are married. I am married to her. She is married to me. We are the marriage. So when you're saying you're going to work on your marriage, what am I saying? Am I going to work on her? Is that what I'm saying? Please stop working on your partner. It's not your job. Stop working on your partner. It's the Holy Spirit's job. The only thing you can do is work on yourself. So let's stop talking about working on your marriage. Work on yourself. It's the only thing you can change. It's actually very controlling to say you're going to work on your marriage. What are you saying? You're going to work on your partner. Are you going to change their attitudes? Good luck with that. That's not your job anyway. Nowhere in the Bible do you see work on your marriage. But what it does say is you ought to have self-control. It doesn't say you ought to have partner control. Boom. Yeah, right there. Yeah. Because if when you work on yourself, is anyone getting something out of this so far? Yeah, okay, let's go a bit deeper then. Listen, Al, you're so kind. If we're going to clap, let's clap. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm going to work on my marriage. Okay, here it goes. All you've got to do is you've got to be the person, as the Bible says, that you are full of love. You are full of peace. You are full of joy. It's the only thing you can do anyway. But imagine if your partner decides to do the same thing and they're full of love and they're full of peace and they're full of joy. Imagine if you're in a place where you go, honey, you don't have to make me happy. God makes me happy. And imagine he says, honey, you don't have to make me happy either. God makes me. Those people are going to have a very happy relationship because they're actually not expecting each other to make each other happy. So the only thing you can do is pray and hope that both people will just work on themselves. But it's funny how some people just allow issues to take place in their relationship for quite some time, and then slowly it begins to pull apart the relationship. Things begin to linger and linger, and they get worse and worse. And now you need to brace yourself just for a moment, okay? Friends, just recently we went to Europe, and there was a guy there, his name's Bruce, and Bruce was running in the park before he came on this trip, and he slipped over, and as he went to go grab the cricket ball, he slipped on the cricket ball, and the cricket ball embedded itself into his calf. And it was red, and it sort of hurt, and he couldn't sort of walk, and so he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, look, I don't like what I see, but I think it's going to heal. He goes, should I take some antibiotics? The doctor says, no. So he jumps on a plane, and he travels from Newcastle all the way to Europe. And this thing starts to throb, and all of a sudden it's getting bigger and bigger. And he couldn't quite get to a hospital because we were in the wrong places. Anyway, this thing, it just gets worse and worse and worse until he finally ends up in the UK, and they've got to cut the thing open, and all that goes on. Some of our relationships are a bit like that. You know, we're just letting things fester, and we're just letting them stay there, thinking they're just going to somehow go away. I want to tell you right now, friends, it's going to take us making a decision, but here's the great news. God says, if you will make a decision, he will back your decision. Yeah. He will help you. God will help you eradicate stuff. Yeah. God will help you to change. Yeah. He will bring everything that you need in, but we've got to be willing to bring it to the surface and say, God, please help me in this area of my life. There is a God who wants to help. He wants to help. So the question is this then, why do we allow these things to stay in our relationships for so long, knowing there is a God who can help us? Wow. Why do we allow it? Well, friends, we shouldn't be shocked by that attitude because, again, the Word of God, we see it all in there. Are we ready to see something in the Word of God? So here comes Moses. He says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. And he says, no. And the first plague that he brings was he turns the river into blood. The second plague that he brings is he brings frogs out of the Nile River. And the Bible tells us that frogs, big and small, begin to infest the whole land. The Bible goes into great detail to tell you that the frogs didn't just sort of land on porches. The Bible says that it landed on their beds. It was in their cereal. It was on the stove. You would open your stove and there would be a frog in there. You would open your fridge. There were frogs everywhere in Egypt. You couldn't go anywhere. You would try and have a shower and frogs would be all over you. There would be frogs. That's what the Bible says. It says there were frogs everywhere. You'd be sitting on your couch just trying to watch some TV and there would be frogs all over you. And you'd be killing frogs and squashing them and walking. And it would just be one big slimy pit and you're just walking and there's frogs and they're getting, and sometimes you'd be eating your soup and frog would jump out. And there were frogs. Read your Bible. Have a look at what it says. They were everywhere, big and small. So eventually, Pharaoh says, please, please, Moses, help me out. And so verse 9 of chapter 8, Exodus, it says, Moses says to Pharaoh, here it is. He says, okay, I leave to you, he says, the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile River. So here's Moses. I'm giving you the opportunity, Pharaoh. You say the prayer, the frogs are gone. And this is Pharaoh's response. Tomorrow. Are you kidding me? Tomorrow, he says. Now, I don't know about you. What would you have said? Bring it on. Are you telling me that you can get rid of the frogs, Moses? I'm telling you right now, I'm leaving the honor to you. You just tell me when. I will pray. Frogs are gone. Oh, okay, so the frogs can be gone. As he's talking to Moses, there are frogs on his head, right? There are frogs everywhere. He's like, so you're telling me, sorry, hang on, I'm a frog, right? Are you telling me that the frogs can be gone? I'm telling you, Pharaoh, the frogs can be gone as soon as you, oh, you know what, tomorrow. Wow. Why would he do that? Why would he say tomorrow? Maybe the same reason why some people who know that there is a God who can help you today would say, you know what, God, I think I'm going to hold on to the anger until tomorrow.
Wow.
I think I'm going to hold the unforgiveness until tomorrow. I think I'm going to hold on to the greed and the selfishness until tomorrow. When God would say, you can deal with the frogs today. We can deal with it today. Why would he want one more night with frogs? Have you ever thought about it? Pharaoh, why did you want one more night with frogs? Because see, I think he may have made friends with a few of the frogs. Yeah. Jeremiah. Some of you, why Jeremiah? You don't know why Jeremiah, but some of you know why it was Jeremiah. Yeah, I'll just leave it there. All right, if you don't know why, go find out later. But I reckon he made some friends. I think he named them. I think this guy, Pharaoh, was what got used to the frogs. And I think that there are some things going on in your relationships that God would say, it's a frog. And you'd say, yeah, but we've sort of gotten used to it now. Please don't get used to frogs. Don't get used to them. You know what this church did recently? You guys are amazing people. You don't even know you did this, but you did it. Pastor Steve Windham, who is a missionary of ours from this church, he uses laptops like most of us do, and so you guys recently bought him a brand new Mac laptop. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done. Yeah. But let me tell you why you did that, because we went to the UK and Steve was sitting there in a coffee shop and he was typing out an email. I was just watching what he was doing there, and I noticed that he would want to say UK. That's what he would want to say, but he would have to write Great Britain because his U wasn't working. So he would have to come up with words every single time. Sometimes he would want to say some word, umbrella, but he would have to think of another word, material that stops rain falling on your head. Because the U wasn't working on his keyboard. Neither was the number 8. And so if he ever wanted to put the 8th of November, he would have to go find an article or something with the word 8 in it, cut and paste it, and put it into... This is not a word of a lie. This is what Steve would have to do. That's what he would have to do because he didn't have the money to buy a laptop. But you guys bought him one, so well done. God bless you, right? Do you know what shocks me? Do you know what I said to him? Steve, how long has this been going on for? Because I thought, how could you do that for 2 or 3 weeks? He goes, 8 months. How could you live with that for 8 months? And then guess what he says? You sort of get used to it. Steve, how long does it take you to write a letter? Oh, a couple of weeks. He didn't say that, but don't you think it'll take him a long time? Don't you think life is much more simple now for Steve? They can just use a U?
Yeah.
Do you know, I think God would say, why are you tolerating a U that's not working in your relationship? Why are you tolerating that? What? Because I'm just sort of used to it now. We just sort of always yell at each other. We're just sort of used to it. God says, yeah, but you don't have to. You don't actually... We're just always negative with each other. I know, Jeremiah, but get the bullfrog out of your relationship and why don't we tone down the negativity toward each other? Amen. Come on. Oh, we're just used to pulling each other down. Oh, we're just used to the anger now. Tomorrow, get rid of the frogs tomorrow. No, why don't you get rid of the frogs today? You know, some of you have heard me once before talking about frogs. It's interesting that it's the frog in this scenario that Pharaoh was happy for it to stick around. Do you know something about frogs? Frogs, if you take a frog and you've got a boiling pot, some of you know this, remember this? If you've got a boiling pot of water and you take a frog and you throw the frog straight into that boiling water, it jumps straight out and trying to protect itself, right? Yeah. Did you know if you took that same frog, put it in warm water and turned the heat up on that water, do you know the frog will stay in that water until it boils to death? Why? Why doesn't it jump out the minute it feels like it's getting very hot in here? Because it continually adapts and adapts and adapts itself to the point where it allows itself to die. I'm just wondering, is there anyone in this place where you are adapting and 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 adapting to the point where it's going to kill your relationship? And God would say, stop adapting to things that we're not supposed to be adapting to. It's not where God wants us to be. If we want flourishing relationships, we've got to say, get the frogs out. We're going to reset this relationship. We're going to behave like Jesus with each other. And we're going to take our relationship where it needs to go and be, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a shout. What things are you allowing to creep into your relationship today? What are you allowing that you would not have allowed in the first 10 minutes of your relationship, but today it's a common part? Because God would say, I leave to you the honor of setting the time. I leave to you the honor of setting the time. We're gonna set the time today. No more tomorrow, today. We're going to set the time. God says, do it today. I love this because it means the world to me, because the devil says tomorrow, God says today. 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, at just the right time, I heard you, God says. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Isn't that good news? The right time is now, because today is the day of salvation. Do you know Pharaoh could have stopped the plagues taking place? Did you know that? Do you know Pharaoh could have just said, I give up. Let's just do what God wants. But instead, he escalated the plagues all the way until the death of the firstborn. You know, God would say, stop escalating what can be stopped today. Stop escalating it. Let's bring this thing in. You know, just recently, Helen and I were, of course, on our trip together. And I've got to tell you something about my wife. She's going to love this. She's always right. Now, I honestly, it's so humbling as a guy to say, but my wife is general. She is just usually right. She just, honestly, she's got good advice. She's got a good memory. And so I've learned to really, really trust my wife's opinion about things and her wisdom and what time the flight is and where the, whatever, right? I've just learned to just trust her. Well, lo and behold, we're on this trip and she was really convinced about something and I was convinced, you know, in the opposite way, and she was wrong. And I think she was a bit shocked, like, I was wrong. I said, yeah, you were wrong. I thought, wow, I don't know what this feels like. This is amazing, she's actually wrong. Well, anyway, I think she was a bit puzzled, like, what happened? Anyway, then something else takes place, and again, she was wrong. Twice. And I'm like, there is a God in heaven. Seriously, this is amazing. She's actually wrong twice. No word of a lie, right? The third thing takes place. I'm talking about times, you know, not big things, just little things. And she's like, no, we leave at 11:15. I'm pretty sure it's 11:30. No, check the itinerary. It's 11:30. I go, that's three in a row. And she says to me, are we going to do that, are we? Do you know what she was really saying? Are we going to let that frog in? Because you know what? I thought, yeah, I don't want to start that. Because it's not going to be long before the tables are all turned again. For 25 years and 6 months, it's gone her way. I mean, the last 3 days, it went my way, right? I've got a funny feeling it's all going to flip back over very soon. And she's like, but I just like the way she said it. So do we want to start doing that, do we? And I was like, no, I don't want to start doing that. No, not really. What are you talking about? I don't know where you... Go past the Helen. Because what she was saying was, come on, let's not be that couple. Let's not be that couple. So come on, I think some of us need to, when we start to hear grip it, you know what I mean? But you went to the, do we want to do that? How about we don't do that? How about we get that frog out, and how about we stay together and stay married for the next 300 years that God allows us to stay on earth? How about we do that? And not allow the frog in. Is this okay? Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Here's Jesus speaking. And I love this. Because Jesus wants a heartfelt relationship too. He says, but I have this complaint against you. He says, you don't love me or each other as you did at first. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. I think some of us feel like that in our relationships. Honey, I don't think you love me as you did at first. And then he tells us what we need to do. He says, look how far you've fallen, turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. So here it is, point number one. Do we want to end up where God wants us to? Number one is look how far. Some of you have forgotten what your relationship used to even look like. Do you know there used to be a day that neither of you were negative? Do you know there used to be a day that when your husband used to walk and he came up with a great idea, you used to go, what a great idea, huh? Now it's like, yeah, that, what? What do you mean? What, another failure? Is that what we're going to do again now? And the poor guy is shot to death. What you don't realize is his last two ideas were very bad, but the third one's going to get you out of debt. Wow. You've got to remember how far you've fallen. What did your relationship used to look like? I've got a funny feeling it was great because you wouldn't have married them otherwise. You would have run for your life. So something must have been really good at that time. The second thing he tells us to do is look, he says, turn back to. In other words, make a decision. Make a decision, it's going to stop. But you don't understand, Richard, if I do it, he may still do it. That's not your issue. That's not your issue. You've just got to be the best person you can be. That's how you work on your marriage, is you just do the right things and make a decision. You're not going to allow that frog into your relationship. Because if you allow the frogs in, he allows the frogs in, you're going to have a pretty froggy relationship. Number three, he says, turn back. He says, do the works. In other words, do something about it. Do something. Don't just have an attitude that you keep to yourself. Start doing some things that ensure that you are moving forward. Can I give you just a couple of very, very practical things, guys? Can I just, yeah, yes? Can we go there? Okay. Your words. Let's just talk about your words for a moment. In relationships, everyone's, oh, Pastor, he's going to kill us now. This is what the Word of God says. Proverbs 18, 21 to 22, it says this. It says, the tongue, can you read it with me? The tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Many of us don't know that, what the next verse says. But the man who finds a wife, did you notice the way the man finds a wife? I like that. Yeah, the man's supposed to be finding the wife. The man who finds a wife, he finds a treasure and he receives favor from the Lord. Why does the Bible talk about your words and the power of them, and then the very next thing it talks about is a wife? Because what it's saying is, guys, we have the power to sow the right seeds into our partner that we end up with what we are trying to have rather than what we have currently got. Yeah. I was having a conversation with someone recently. He goes, Rich, some things are going on in our relationship. I'm not very happy about it. And I said, what's going on? And you know, he tells me. And I said, who? Your partner is doing that? And he goes, oh, yeah. No, she's changed, bro. She's changed, mate. I go, what do you mean? He goes, mate, she used to be awesome. You know, she never used to swear. She was always positive. She was doing a whole lot of things. And he just went on for about 10 minutes about how wonderful she was. And I said, well, bro, and what's happened? He goes, oh, she's not like that anymore. I said, and whose fault do you think that is? Wow. What seeds have you sown into her? Yeah. He goes, mate, please don't tell me truth like that. That's the truth, friends. Come on, your words are seeds. Remember Jesus talked about the sower? Yeah. He said the seeds represent the word of God. Have a look at what this next verse says. The Bible says, do not plant two kinds of seed in your vineyard. Yeah. Don't plant two kinds of seed. And for some of us, you know what? We're sowing some good seed, and then the next day we're sowing negative seed. And then we're wondering why we've got this funny harvest coming out. Come on, let's make a decision. We're going to have positive words in our relationship. Can I encourage you? I try and do this as often as I can. But I will say to my wife, and please, I hope this doesn't sound like, oh, Pastor Richard, he's all up there. I'm just trying to have a go here. But I will tell my wife, you're a great mum, Helen. You're a great mum. I love the way you show wisdom to your kids. I love the way you love your people. Helen, you're very clever. You're a great preacher. By the way, she's preaching at East today. Do you know, I've just tried to sow those seeds rather than, you know what, you're no good, you can't do, who do you think you are? Come on, why don't we sow some positive seeds into our partners? Let them know how wonderful they are. Do you know, that's what we used to do. Do you remember that? That's how we ended up married to them. Do you know, it says, he who finds a good wife finds a treasure. Treasure, that is what you are. When was the last time you said those words to it? Hey, when you come home, a little bit of treasure. You're a treasure. You're a treasure to me. Oh, no, because I've got to tell them to put out the bin first. Yeah, okay, I get that, but that's not necessarily helping your relationship. Come on, guys. Come on, don't mix your seed. I'm going to finish with this point. For some of us, we think it's a spiritual attack. I told you it's not often the enemy, but the enemy. Did you hear that? I'm going to also suggest to you that sometimes it's not the enemy, it's the outer me. You know, there's a story of two couples sitting in a hot tub, and they're sitting there and they're talking, and one guy says, "Oh man, I hope my wife never dies." And he's like, "Why? Oh man, you know, then I'd have to start dating again, and I'd have to start, you know, blah, blah, blah." And then he says this. He says, "You know what? I'd have to lose 10 kilos to try and find another girl." And his wife says to him, "Would you really do that? Would you lose 10 kilos to say you could find a girl?" He goes, "Oh yeah, look at me." She's like, "Then why don't you lose 10 kilos for me?" Is that what, you know what, if you had to find another partner, if you had to find another partner for some unfortunate reason, what would you smell a bit better? Why don't you smell a bit better right now? Would you get your hair cut? Get your hair cut now. Whatever you would do to try and get someone else into your life, why wouldn't you do it right now to keep the person that God has already given you? Would you stop being negative? Oh yeah, I'd stop being negative. Why don't you do that right now then? Come on, whatever we would do to get someone else into our life, why wouldn't you do it right now and get some good things going on in the relationship you've currently got and love the one you're with? I'm just going from song to song this morning. I mean, I could just do that all day, you know? Is this helpful?
Yeah, so good.
Come on, there may be a spiritual attack. I've just got a funny feeling we're just being a bit spiritually slack.
Yeah.
Yep. Come on, let's be the best you could be. And if both people decide to be the best you they can be, then it's going to help the relationship go forward for you. It's going to really help it go forward. Amen? In Jesus' name. Anyone else with me? You know, the Bible says, behold, today is the day. So what frogs have we got going? Because Moses says, I'll give you the honor of dictating the time. Are you going to be I'll do it next week person? Or why don't we leave this place saying, you know what? I refuse to be negative anymore in this relationship. Done. I'm leaving. I'm that's it. I'm leaving these doors saying, that frog's gone. I've squashed it. Gone. Come on. What do we need to do? Let's squash some frogs this morning. Can we kill some frogs? Anyone want to kill some frogs with me? Let me tell you how it starts. Let me tell you how it starts. Can we show that verse, guys, about today being the day? It says, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you on the day of salvation. Do you know what that means? On the day you said, God, please save me. The Bible says, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Friend, if we want God to help us, then we need to get him into our world. And for some of us, we've been brought up in religion, and you've got religion, and you've got a cross around your neck, and you were baptized, you were confirmed, you did Holy Communion, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. How can that possibly be? Well, I went to a couple of Billy Joel concerts. I did. I know what Billy Joel looks like. I went to his concert. I know his songs. I could even repeat his songs, but I've never met Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You know, you can know all about God, but actually not have a relationship with Him. So if you want to start killing some frogs, the first thing you've got to do is get the frog killer into your life.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.